here. We like to start with people who are in the Nerdalog sketch group to kind of, I don't know, just set the mood, do it up first. So with that said, Mary Beth Smith.
I've never been asked to set the mood with such a large group of people here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. on July 26th, 2014, at just after 2 a.m., my heart sank because I was staring at a bus stop sign that I was certain I had locked my bike to 4 hours prior to that. I had been at The Annoyance, one of my favorite theaters in Chicago, seeing a good friend in a funny show on his birthday. I had only been there for 4 hours, and my locked bike had been stolen from a pretty busy intersection in Chicago. I was furious and sad and cursing at the sky and angry at myself for letting an object I could easily replace affect me so much. My boyfriend, my roommate, and the birthday boy were in an Uber on the way back to my apartment, so I had to call them in shambles, because it'd take me much longer to walk home than it would have to bike, and I didn't want them to worry when they beat me there. On the walk, I posted a Facebook status, more as a cautionary tale to my many friends in the comedy community to be careful about locking up in that specific place, but also as a shot in the dark at someone seeing my pilfered Raleigh men's road bike. But this is not a story about a stolen bike. It's weird. When I started riding a bike to commute, it was mostly out of necessity. I had brought a mountain bike that I'd had since seventh grade with me to Chicago, but I had always commuted via public transit to my job in the suburbs. I was pretty nervous to bike in the city, and I wasn't really spending much time in the city proper yet because I was working out there. Once I got laid off after about 2 years of living in Chicago, I lost the need and the means for an unlimited CTA pass. I biked to comedy classes, to internships at the theaters that helped pay for those comedy classes, to rehearsals and to shows all over the city on something meant for a 12-year-old making figure eights in a cul-de-sac. It became a part of my hustle and my grind. It became a part of all the cheap shit that I saddled and busied myself with because it was what I wanted to be doing, and I didn't have a job to stop me from doing any of it. A lot of my friends and improv teammates and such would give me shit for it, like, I can't believe you're actually commuting on this. But I eventually used the time spent living on my unemployed nest egg and riding a shitty bike to find a part-time job I liked that I could actually bike to. My comedy life stayed pretty busy, even though I had 30 less awake hours to spend doing it, per week. My bike became a really essential part of trying to make it to all the shows and rehearsals and other responsibilities that I already had created for myself, so I quickly upgraded to the men's road bike that had been just the right short height for me. It was probably destined to be a gift from a divorced dad to his tween son. I've literally seen dudes buying bikes like that while I've been in my bike shop, and it's hilarious. But I snagged it from a great used bike shop. At that point, I knew the CTA was still there, but it just baffled me how I had ever used it as my main source of transportation. Biking gave me almost total control over how long it took me to get places, barring things like flats and bad weather, and is still an almost essential part of my lifestyle at this point a few years later. So often, the only time I get to myself is while I'm cranking down Halstead in the bike lane, listening to a podcast, and thinking about whatever I'm en route to. It's my exercise, my ride, and my escape. My comedy career feels that way, too. Creative exercise, an unpredictable yet enjoyable ride, and an escape from the frustrating, energy-sucking minutiae that is a day job. Recently, there have been a lot of tough winter days where I feel like I'm toiling at my paycheck-producing lab job only to run 30 minutes late to the shows and rehearsals I'd rather be doing anyway, stinking of the frustration and regret that is having to take a bus in Chicago during a snowstorm at rush hour. I know a lot of that's to blame on Chicago's weather, too, but not having my bike available makes me feel stunted in a way that few other things can. I thought I had many days like that ahead of me when my bike got stolen. Even though it would force a tight wallet for a bit, I could afford the $225 that it cost me to buy my bike used. It wasn't going to break me by any means, but it wasn't about the money. It was about having that vehicle that helps me manage my grind taken from me when it should have been safe. Why could I have done everything expected of a responsible bike owner and still experience a theft? It felt like a callback audition that leads to nothing, or a show that gets canceled because no tickets are sold. Easy things to kick yourself over, but that ultimately you don't have complete control of. I could have had a more expensive bike lock than the old U-lock with a broken key that still functionally worked, but was apparently easy to pick. But ask Kevin Reeder how well that has worked out for him. I love you, Kevin. I could feel more fulfilled by the path I'm taking in the comedy community of Chicago, or figure out another way to get butts in seats for things I'm a part of, but at the end of the day, all I have are the things I've secured. The years invested in artistic projects or teams that eventually cave, but give one worlds of connections to people and experiential knowledge of performing and honing a comedic voice is still important. It felt similar to those comedy career setbacks, a kick in the pants, but not insurmountable by any means. Hard to control when there are always elements of chaos. On July 26, 2014, at about 7:30 p.m., less than 24 hours after my bike was stolen, I got 3 calls in a row from an unknown number while in a show celebrating the lovely Claire Friedman. I don't know where she went, but also, no stranger to bike theft. Neither is Katie Johnston Smith, the person sitting next to her, also in the Nerdlogs. We've had a bad string of it. Fuck bike thieves, they're scum. Yes, thank you. They're terrible people. I'm sorry. Just like ask me for $20 or something. Don't fucking steal my bike. As a fleeting thought, when the phone rang the 3rd time during the show, I said to myself, it could be about my bike. I stepped out of the theater to take the call and was met by the voice of a fellow Chicago improviser who I knew well enough that we were Facebook friends and performed at the same theater in Wrigleyville a lot. He said he thought he'd found my bike unlocked outside of an Einstein's bagel about a mile from where it had been stolen, then described it to a T and said it looked fine. I cried as he told me he was going to carry it into the theater he was about to do a show at so that I could get it later that night. This is not a story about a stolen bike. This is a story about a found bike. About getting back to the grind. Thanks to some luck, thanks to being a part of a community, and probably thanks to the general annoyance created by being a normal-sized bike thief trying to steal a bike meant for a prepubescent boy. Thanks.
I feel like I should say it's not just bike thieves and Nerdlogs have trouble with. I think at 3 consecutive Sketchfests, we've lost 3 cars in the Nerdlogs, which is, yeah, that's right, Kev, right?
Two of them are on.
Yeah, 2 were Kevin's. The worst that happened to me was on the 4th year, my exhaust system broke. Killing it, Kevin.
2 cars, 1 fifth.